chapter 10 is where the lesson will come from for the most part tonight. We'll do just a little bit of other discussion before we get to that point, and then we'll look on into that lesson. I don't know who all had a part in all the decorations up here, but I thought as I walked in, I'm going to feel right at home up there because it kind of reminds me of being at home. You've got things everywhere that remind you about children, remind you about kids. You've got the little kid over here, he's swinging in the tree, and that's definitely Ryan. He's doing that all the time. So I don't know if I've ever felt so in my zone, I guess, at least, or at least at home and being in the pulpit. But I do appreciate all the effort. I know there's a lot that goes into it, not just in the decoration, but the study and then the preparation for all these kids. And we are raising the future of the Lord's church, and the efforts that you're putting forward here definitely will not go in vain. And I do appreciate that, especially from the standpoint of my children, and I know how important it is that we get our kids going down the right path in life. So I do appreciate you all doing that. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's been quite some time since Julie and I have been here. We've added one to our family since then. Some of you may have seen her get really excited earlier. She does that quite often. She's full of life, and we love her to death. But we're definitely blessed with wonderful three kids now, and we're just glad to be here tonight. With you. The topic of their study tonight is basically based on 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Matt talked about it a little bit up here tonight about King Josiah. And the fact that he didn't really go into it much, I'm sure he will when he comes back out here, but at the very young age of 8 years old, he basically inherited a huge royal mess, basically, for lack of better words, because as a king, inheriting that position and being in that position at any age, but especially at the young age of 8 and taking that on, he had a big challenge before him. Matt mentioned his father and his grandfather, Ammon and Manasseh. They definitely had done more than anybody had in the past as far as in the line of Judah to cause God's people to fall away. Manasseh, just mentioning a few things that he did, going back a couple of chapters there in 2 Chronicles 34, if you want to take note of this, it's also recorded in 2 Kings 22 and in the chapters before that, some of the very same things. But some of the things that was going on was altars were being built of all places in the house of God to foreign gods. They, in every way, especially Manasseh and Ammon just continued that, they in every way had desecrated the Lord's house. They had made all these altars and images and sacrificed all these different things to all these foreign gods. And they, it even says there in the context of some of that reading there and the things leading up to that, that they even caused Israel, or rather they caused Judah to sin more and to even go beyond in their evil than even the nations that God had allowed them to subdue. So we're talking about the enemies of God that knew nothing about God. At times, God's people under men like Manasseh and Ammon had become even worse than they were. So you kind of understand what Josiah is inheriting here. They had gotten so evil that under Manasseh, they had even caused their sons to go through or to pass through the fire. They performed witchcraft and sorcery, and they were just a very vile people. And somewhere in the process of all of that, God's Word literally had been lost. And it's in the time of Josiah that he is going through and he's reforming everything. He's trying to rebuild a completely torn down nation. He's gathered funds together. They're trying to rebuild the temple. They're trying to rebuild the Lord's house. And in the process of that, Hilkiah the priest, he finds the Word of God. Now, in all accounts that you kind of read, most are in pretty close agreement that what he found there was the temple copy of the law of Moses or the law of God that had basically just been forgotten about and hid away in the temple, basically overshadowed by everything else that had been thrown in there by Manasseh and Ammon. But Hilkiah stumbled across this. He passed it on to the governor of the city. He passed it on to Hilkiah. He reads that, and what does Josiah do? He tears his clothes. He is in great distress. He's in great anger, you might say. He's in a period of mourning and just basically disgust. Because he realizes how far his people, how far God's people are from what they need to be. And that's the challenge that he faced. The challenge that he faced as a young king and as a maturing king was to take a people who once knew God, but now had come to the point that they didn't know God anymore. Even to the degree of they had lost God's word. So Josiah read that word, and he read that word before the people, and it was his goal from there on out to make sure to take these people who had forgotten God, many of which probably didn't know God in the generations that had been born during that time period, and introduce them to the God that they did not know. You know, that sounds a lot like Paul, as he is there in Athens addressing the Areopagus and addressing the men of Athens. He was beside of himself as he went into the area of Athens, because he noticed this inscription, and he noticed this altar, and he noticed all their different modes of religion and the different objects of their spirituality. But one really stood out to him, and it was an inscription that said, "To the unknown God." And he said to them, "The one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." So no matter whether you're talking about way back in the day of Josiah, or in the year of our Lord, and in the New Testament, and the book of Acts, it has always been a great challenge to know God, to stay close to God, to have a relationship with Him, and to not get distracted. The challenge to know Him, not just His Word, but to know Him, is a challenge that has always faced God's people for generations. And what we find there in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, is a little story tucked away there that sometimes is lost in the shuffle. I think we've all heard it, we've all read it, but sometimes it's overlooked. But I think when we look at the story of Mary and Martha, and tonight we're for the most part going to focus on Martha, but when we look at that story, I think you'll see yourself in so many ways. I know I see myself because I struggle with time. You should have seen me this evening when I got off work at 3 trying to get everything done and get the kids ready, and Julie's coming home, and then get all this ready and still try to look back over this lesson. We're just in a tailspin. That's every day in our lives. And chances are your life is probably the same. It may be in different scenarios and different situations, but I guarantee you, sometimes you feel like you're just in a tailspin. Well, that's what we find here in the story. And maybe our biggest challenge in knowing God is not finding a copy of God's Word. You've probably got a copy on your phone. You've got a couple copies at home, perhaps even more. You keep some in the car. We're surrounded by God's Word, and what a blessing that is. But the challenge we face is the issue of time. The issue of being so far stretched, so strung out, that we fail to focus on our Lord. And that's exactly what happens in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, it said, It happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha," that's a double address. Anytime Jesus addressed somebody in a double way, calling their name twice, it was to show great care and concern and love for that person. He said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Do you ever feel like you never get caught up with anything? And if you do have a few moments to breathe and try to relax and catch your breath, you almost feel guilty because you know there's so much more you need to be doing? Do you ever wish there were two or three of you? Because there's no way that one of you can get done everything that needs to be done in the course of one day. Do you ever get frustrated because you're always busy? Maybe you get frustrated with others because maybe you don't see them as involved as you are, and you feel like you're carrying all the load and they're not carrying their weight. Sometimes that makes you ill, doesn't it? Sometimes that'll make you moody, and that'll discourage you. And if you're not careful, it'll cause you to lose your faith, and it'll cause you to lose sight of the Lord. And I think that's what we find in this story tonight. And if you feel that way, you're just another Martha. We all are at times. But hopefully some of the things that we'll look at tonight, and some of which we'll look at in the invitation tonight, hopefully will help us all to be stronger, be better managers of our time, and make sure that we don't lose sight of our Lord. As we look back through this passage, and we won't look at a whole bunch of verses tonight, but just basically focusing on this passage. Martha, to take her first, we're going to sort of compare and contrast the two sisters there, but Martha was a very loving person. I think she was a caring person, a giving person, a very hospitable person. we see here that she's hosting Jesus and those who were with him. And we understand in studying the day and age, much not much different than our age, that's not a cheap thing to host people into your home. And she wants to make sure that everything is just right. In this account and in other accounts, it seems to be that she's sort of the caretaker of her siblings. We don't really know why. We don't know all the details, but at least she appears to be sort of in charge of things in that home. But we know her to be a person of great faith. In John chapter 11, verse 20, going down through that chapter, reading there, that's the story of Lazarus, her brother, of course, where he passed away, he died, and she, in going to Jesus, said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." He would still be alive. But even still, she believed him to be the Son of God. So we know that she was a woman of great faith. We know she was a woman of a lot of courage. You go back and you look at John 5. Again, we don't have time to look at all of this tonight, but you go back and look at John 5 and 6 and 7. What you'll find there is that already in the life of Jesus in his ministry, the authorities have already conspired and planned against him, and they're plotting to kill him. They are in every way working against him with every facility they have. Many of his disciples in John chapter 6 have forsaken him and fled. And it's to the point that sometimes even his own family is beginning to disbelieve him, and it's not an easy time at all to follow Christ. But that does not deter Martha. And you've got to hand it to her in that. She was a very courageous lady. Even still, she's hosting Jesus, not just greeting him in the street, not just saying, "Yes, I believe in Jesus," but he's in her home. Think about all the attention that would draw. On the other hand, you've got her sister Mary. Mary comes across as very loving and humble. We know that she sat at Jesus' feet. We see her doing that in this story. And I think that proves her humility. She could have sat anywhere in that home. In all likelihood, it was at least a pretty large home, large enough to host these people. She could have sat anywhere in that home. She didn't have to sit right beneath his feet. But in sitting there and in choosing that seat, what we find about her is that just definitely shows her humility. Because she could have sat anywhere. She could have sat eye level with him, but she sat at his feet. Mary was a very humble person, and she had a spiritual hunger to go along with that. And literally, you might say, she got as close to Jesus as possible. She wanted to know Jesus and to know him even better. Much of the same way, John 11 and verse 32, she came to Jesus for comfort, saying basically the same thing that her sister Martha had. "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I believe in you." We find in John 12 and verse 3, she was a humble servant in that she anointed Jesus. She was all about Jesus, and that is so clear to see. Her priority and her focus was on Jesus, and if you can't see that, you're just not looking. It's there. But what we find in the story is a very great danger in being distracted. If you're reading from the King James Version tonight, you'll see where it says there that Martha cumbered about. The New King James and some of the other translations more commonly say she was very distracted. And obviously she was. I mean, you can see that. I've often read this story, and I've thought about my mother. I've thought about my mother-in-law. I think about Julie, my wife, and times that we've hosted people. And you women, you all can definitely relate to this. And us men, if we're having a big get-together, there's all kinds of chores for us, right? And we're all busy trying to get all that ready, and we're distracted. We're cumbering about. And it's not a bad thing, but we can become very involved in that. And that's exactly what had happened to Martha. She was so distracted by making sure that everything was just right that Jesus described her, that the context of this passage describes her as basically being anxious. The word there, cumbered about, or the two words there put together, means to be anxious. It means to be worried. To be wound up, basically means to be a ball of nerves. Now again, it was all for a good purpose. She was serving other people. But the problem was, she was so busy in doing good that she lost sight of priority number one, which was the Lord. She was fatigued. She was frustrated. She was ill with others. What's striking here is that she was even ill with Jesus. She even asked, of all people, did you catch that? She said, "Do you not care?" Of all people to ask, "Do you not care how I feel and what I'm going through?" That's what she asked Jesus. So that I would almost say that would be uncharacteristic of Martha when you think about her faith. But she was so distracted, she was so stressed out about what she was doing, she looked at the Lord She believed Him to be the Son of God, and she asked Him, "Don't you care?" But you see, that's what it will cause. When we become so busy, when we become too busy, our perspective can get way off. Martha wasn't just too busy. It was the fact that she was so busy that she lost sight of Jesus. And I want you to think about what actually got her to that point. Again, this is one of those little stories, you miss a lot of this, but when you really start to look into it, it's pretty clear. Her blessings was her wealth. She was wealthy enough to do this. She had initiative. She showed hospitality. She definitely had a social status among the community. And you make it add a lot of other things that you might see in that. But it was her blessings and her ability to bless others that had literally pulled her away from the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You see, a lot of times we think it's all the bad things in life that pull us away from God. But sometimes it can be that we're so involved in trying to do so much good that our faith begins to dwindle because we don't look at Jesus anymore. Martha was choked down. Now, Luke 8 and verse 14 talks about being choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. I wouldn't say that she was seeking pleasure. Not really that she was seeking riches, but she definitely had a lot of care about the way things needed to be. And it was those very things that had begun to choke her down. And being in that state of distracted, of cumbering about, we find ourselves, as we find Martha, in a very, very dangerous position in this life. To basically put it very plainly, verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things." You know what Jesus said in a simple way to her? He said, "Martha, you've got too many irons in the fire. Martha, your plate is too full. Martha, you've taken on too much yourself. You're trying to carry too much load." It reminds me of what Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, said to him. He said, "It's not good that you do this thing. You're judging the people all day and you're taking all these matters yourself." He said, "Surely you will wear yourselves out and the people. You can't do it all yourself." How many times do we try to do that? And that's exactly what Martha was doing. And Jesus called unto it very clearly. He rebuked her. I believe He lovingly rebuked her. But He rebuked her for it, saying, "Martha," almost like, "Martha, do you not realize what you're doing to yourself? Martha, just take a breath. Calm down. Look what you're missing. Look what you're missing that's right before you." You see, Jesus understood stress, and He definitely would understand it even more in the future. We find in Luke 22 and in verse 44, moments before being betrayed in the garden, hours before being on trial, being scourged, being crucified, knowing every agonizing step, pain, and thing that He was about to go through, we find from Luke chapter 22 from the beloved physician that Jesus is sweating drops of blood in great distress. Folks, that's stressed out there. But the difference between Martha and Jesus is that when Jesus was stressed, He prayed to God. And He kept His focus on things above. When Martha was stressed, she's looking everywhere but Jesus. She's cumbered about. Which best describes you in your life? I know who describes me more often than I really care to admit. And it's Martha. We're not necessarily doing anything bad, but we're so busy, we fail to see Jesus, and He might even be sitting in our own living room, per se. The cure, Jesus laid out the cure very, very clearly and very, very simply to her. Luke chapter 10 and in verse 42, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." He said, "Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." And I think you can almost understand His understanding nature here. Again, we have a high priest in Jesus who can sympathize with us in all things. And I think He's sympathizing with Martha here. That's why He doesn't come down on her too hard. He says, "Martha, you're stressed. You're worried and troubled about many things. You're doing all this, but one thing is more important than anything else. And the very person that you're frustrated with has got it." He basically says, "Look over here at Mary. Look over here at your sister. She has chosen that good part." What is that good part she has chosen? Again, It's not to say that Martha chose anything bad, but what good part has Mary chosen? She is humbly sitting at the feet of Jesus. She made sure that she was close enough to Him so that she could hear Him. What about us? I think sometimes we're okay to just pass by. Maybe close enough to see, maybe close enough to get a glimpse, maybe feel a little bit, but to get close enough to know Him. To not only hear His words, but to almost be like Mary and to hear His heartbeat and to hear His breath. Literally get that close to Christ in our lives. I think sometimes we find ourselves lost in that. Because we're evil people? Not necessarily. But just because we're too busy. Too busy with things we're trying to do at work. Too busy with things we're trying to do at home. Too busy with things we're trying to do with the church, with our children, with our family, and so on. They all may be good things. But if we're not careful, they'll pull us away from our Lord. And the cure is very simply, what did Jesus say in Matthew 4 and in verse 4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You go back and you read John chapter 6. Let's turn over there. We've got a few minutes tonight. I think we've got time to look back through some of that. Let's turn over to John chapter 6. Now this is the very, at least how it came across to many of those who were following Jesus, the very profound chapter that really just blew their minds. And it says very clearly in John 6 that many of them turned and didn't follow Jesus anymore. Because they could not accept what He was saying. What Jesus is basically saying in John chapter 6 is that you need to not just live by bread alone, but you need to live by Me. You need to feed off of Me. That's what we see Mary doing. She is feeding, literally feeding off of Jesus. She's not just following Him, she's feeding off of Him. And that's what He's telling many of these people that's following Jesus for a meal, that's following Jesus to be healed. He begins to tell them, you've got to feed off of Me. Notice what He says here, John 6 and in verse 26. Most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He said, you're following Me because you want another meal. And you can't really argue with Him for that. Verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but rather for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Skip on down to verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger. And he who believes in Me shall never thirst. He only gets deeper. Verse 51. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is My flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Verse 53. Most surely I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh... This is really what got them. Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now there's a lot of symbolism in that, and there's a lot of things going on. But basically Jesus is saying, you can't be so focused on worldly things that you miss feeding off of Me. Yes, partaking of His body, partaking of His blood. Yes, in the Lord's Supper, but more importantly, how we live our day every day. How we focus on Jesus. How we feed and live off of Him. Skipping on down into verse 60. This is where many of the disciples turned away because they just couldn't accept what He was saying. And that's a very prominent passage of where He looked at Peter and the others. And He said, are you also ready to go away? What did they prominently say? Lord, You have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? And that's a question that I want to propose to us tonight. Where shall we go? We all get stressed. We all get cumbered about. We get distracted. And what's going to fix that? A lot of times in my mind, what I'm thinking is, if I can just persevere a little longer and get through with all of this, then I'll be okay. But typically, once you finish your chores and once you finish what's being processed and all these gears that's running in your mind, typically when you finish all that, and you sit down and breathe just for a minute, what do you see then? 10 or 11 other things you need to do, right? And it never stops. And I think the devil never wants it to stop. You know, Felix basically was convinced that what Paul was saying was right, and he said, I'll call for you when I have a more convenient time. Well, guess what? The devil will never let you have a convenient time. He doesn't want you to. He wants you to stay busy. He wants you to be cumbering about, even if it's with good things, if he keeps you busy enough that you lose your focus on the Lord, that you lose your focus of Christ, he's got you. For a life that's weighed down, for a life that is stressed, strung out, too thin, too many irons in the fire, plate overfilled, who's the answer? It's a quiet time with the Lord. Last night, the children studied Elijah. And that's one of the things that he learned there in the book of 1 Kings. He thought he was outnumbered. But he was so consumed by that, he wasn't seeing clearly. And what he found after all the noisy things went away, as he's hiding there that day, he found God in what? A still, small voice. And that's our problem. We don't slow down enough. We're just like Martha. We don't slow down enough to hear that still, small voice. But there's really nowhere else we need to go but Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The burden that we often carry is so heavy that we crush and crumble under that load. But if we would cast our cares upon Him, if we would go to His feet, unlike Martha, but more so like Mary, we would find that those burdens would become lighter and lighter, because He'll help carry that load, and we won't find ourselves carrying it alone. I want to stop there tonight. When we get back out here in just a moment and everybody comes back out, we'll say a few more things and we'll extend the Lord's invitation. Hope these things have been of encouragement to you tonight. I need this because I'm a terrible manager of time. I get consumed by these things. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that we're a lot alike in this category. But let's think about Martha tonight and what Jesus said to her. Let's think about Mary and what He said about her. And ask yourselves tonight as we come out and sing a few more songs and as we prepare for the invitation. Ask yourselves tonight, who can you most closely relate yourself to? Are you a Martha or are you Mary? If you're a Martha, there may be some changes that you need to make in your life tonight. Thank you for your time tonight.